Hello, and welcome to You Are From God, brought to you by the West Mason Church of Christ. My name is Tyler Hall.
And I'm Scott Taylor, and we are so thankful that you have joined us today right here on You Are From God. We are the evangelists at the West Mason Church of Christ, located at 6800 Tylersville Road in Mason, Ohio. Very simple to get to. If you have the opportunity to be with us, you can find out more information on our website, westmasonchurchofchrist.org, or give us a call at 513-398-9607. We would love to hear from you. If you have questions, we certainly would love to have the opportunity to answer those. Today on the program, we're going to be talking about having an abundant life. And Tyler, one of the most amazing things that our Lord and Savior tells us in John the 10th chapter in verse 10 is the idea that we can have not only a life, but we can have a life abundantly. And that's so powerful. So what we're going to talk about today really is, what does that really mean?
Right. And I think one of the quickest ways that you can kind of unpack what Jesus is talking about there is looking at what he contrasts it with. So John 10:10, the full verse says, "The thief comes only to kill and to steal and to steal, to kill and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly." So you look at the contrast there. So what does abundant life look like? Well, whereas life before Jesus or without Jesus looks like having been stolen from, having been dead, having been destroyed, completely overcome, the abundant life in Christ looks like being given everything that we need. It looks like we have real life, true life, that we once were dead in comparison spiritually, now that we are fully alive to God and to other people. And it looks like that we've been empowered. We have been created, recreated in the image of God, the way that we've always meant to be. And I think, Scott, one of the easiest places to see this played out or laid out for us in Scripture in a little more detail is the book of Ephesians. So if you are listening to this and you're not driving, we certainly don't want you to open your Bible or try to fiddle with your phone while you're driving. But if you're listening to this later, even if you're doing that now, whenever you have the opportunity, open up the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters of this book talk about the abundant riches we have as a child of God with a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. The second half of the book, Scott, is going to talk about the way that we walk because of those riches, but to establish the foundation of understanding what does abundant life look like, we can look at these first three chapters. And Paul here paints a picture for us of just how amazing this life is. The first chapter, he just starts off in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." He goes on and talks about this word that's used in verse 8, that he lavished upon us these riches of his grace in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Scott, you see this picture of God is giving us all these things. He gives us himself in the form of his son. He gives us an example through his son. He gives us his word so that we can, as it says in verse 8 and 7, that we have wisdom and insight, that we have these riches of his grace, and that we can know and understand them. Later on in the chapter, Paul will go on and that he's going to pray that the eyes of the hearts of these Ephesian Christians would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. This idea of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him that he's getting at is really the key to unlocking this rich, these riches, so to speak. This rich, abundant life that he's talking about is accessed when we read and understand. It's the knowledge, the wisdom, the revelation is in the Bible. We have to open this book to understand that this is God's treasure chest of grace and spiritual blessings. He says every spiritual blessing is here, and God wants us to have it, but we have to be able to open and to read and to understand. That's the key thing. There's a lot of times, Scott, where I know I've been guilty of it in the past, and sometimes when we get lazy, we can all do this, where we just take whatever somebody says on the radio or what somebody says at the front of a church building or up on a pulpit or somebody with a megaphone, we just take what they say and say, oh, they must be right. They seem pretty confident about right. it. Anything can sound right if you say it with enough confidence. Right. The key thing with this is that God has spoken. He has given to us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, as the Apostle Peter will write for us in another place. We have to be willing, though, to come and to understand. He'll talk about this in chapter 3, which we'll get to in a minute, but this idea that when we read what Paul has written and what the other apostles and prophets have written, we can understand the mystery of Christ, the fact that the church was God's plan from the beginning, and that it is in the church that he blesses us. So in that way, he gives to us. Satan wants to take all these things from us, to deprive us of what true life looks like. God is giving all of these things to us through Jesus Christ.
You know, I love as you continue on into chapter 2. He ends chapter 1 by talking about he raised him up from the dead. And then he begins to remind us of the fact that as God's children, we too were dead. We too had a choice to make of whether or not we were going to follow him. We too used to formerly walk in these sins and according to the course of the world, as he says in verse 2. But then you get into this idea of what God has done for us. Not only is this abundant life from the unification that we see in Christ, but there's this word that's used, especially in chapter 2, this idea of grace, to truly understand what it means to be made alive. In verse 4, he says, "But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And you think about it, and just stop there, but you think about that perspective, the idea that by his grace, all of us have the opportunity. All of us have the opportunity. He was willing to send his son to die for all people. We have just the choice of whether or not we're going to follow him. We have a choice of whether or not we want to have a life on this earth, and to understand what that truly means, but to be dead spiritually, or to have an abundant life, and to understand that by his grace and mercy and love, he has given us the opportunity to have a relationship with him, to be brought back from the dead, if you will, and to understand what happens when we talk about true grace. And Tyler, I think it's important for us to understand that this grace is offered to everybody. Mm-hmm. He absolutely wants all men everywhere to be saved, as we are told in the scriptures. He wants everyone to come to repentance, as we're told. And it's an opportunity for each and every one of us. The epitome of the definition to me of his grace and his love and his mercy is the idea that he's just given us the opportunity. I can never get past that point. Mm-hmm. It was just the opportunity that he has given us that we can be his child. You can continue on if you would like. You can continue living in this way that we used to live and to walk. But he wants us to make sure that we know that we have this opportunity. And those of us that have obeyed, those of us that are living for him, we need to remember what it was like to be separate from him, what we thought was life. You know, Tyler, one of the most interesting things as we go forward in this conversation is that I used to think I understood what peace was. Mm-hmm. I used to think it meant there's nothing bad going on. I'm calm. Everything's fine. But scripturally, what we're talking about, what true peace is the presence of God, and during good times and in bad times, he's going to help us through those difficulties, and us having that trust in him to truly understand what this grace is. You have been made alive in him. You talk about having an abundant life. You've been made alive with him, and you have all the spiritual blessings that he mentioned in chapter 1.
Right, absolutely. That's the incredible thing, and that grace through faith, I think that is the key point, that God, without him acting, without him establishing this, we would have no chance, but that he gives us this life. The fact is, Scott, that I have to claim that life, and I have to choose to do that, to what you were saying. I think a lot of people, especially when you compare this verse to what he said in chapter 1, can get confused because they hear words like predestination, he chose us, and we think of this idea of a child picking out their favorite toys from a treasure chest or a toy chest and saying, I'm going to play with these ones, and the rest of them that are in there, well, they're unlucky. They're the toys in Toy Story that don't want to, that unfortunately, they're Wheezy, the little penguin that gets put up on the shelf. And unfortunately, there are some who understand the scriptures that way, and it's like, sorry, God created you and just didn't want to save you eternally. This understanding, if you look at actually what's being talked about in the full scope of things, what does he keep going back to? It's not this special group of predetermined people. Yes, God, because he is outside of time, knows who's going to be there at the end, but that doesn't negate our free will whatsoever. The point of being predestined and chosen is the fact that it's in him, with him. With who? With him. In Jesus Christ. That's the part that is predestined. God always had the plan of Jesus Christ being the one, being the established point of, this is how I'm going to save mankind. The last episode we were talking about, even back in Genesis 3, God had this plan and was alluding to his son. This is the predestined aspect, that we are going to be with him, that it's by his grace through our faith that we are going to be believing so much in what God has said that we will act in accordance with his will. That's the saving power and element. It's not because of anything that I do, but as he goes on in verse 10 to talk about, that we are his workmanship, that we are going to be the servants of him, that his children would act. That's the way that we're going to live and behave. And in chapter 3, he's saying that this is what the church was all about. He goes on to this discussion of, this is his plan from the foundation of the world. You can read this and understand it just from what I'm writing to you. And it's the fact that Paul's inspired by the Holy Spirit as an apostle, that he has preserved this for us, that God wants us to understand these things. That third element that we read read of in John 10:10 was that the thief comes to destroy, Scott. This is about God creating. This is about him creating the church and about creating newness in me, that I'm, as it says at the end of the chapter, rooted and grounded in love, that Christ is dwelling in my heart through faith, and that I'm able to comprehend something that he will say, this is going to surpass knowledge, the love that is in Christ. This idea, Scott, is culminated at the very end of Paul's prayer at the end of chapter 3. He says in verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." So he ends this point, and this is the end of the riches conversation. It's also a pivot point, because the rest of the book, Scott, he's going to talk about what we are empowered to do. Far more abundantly than what we ask or think. That doesn't mean I'm going to be able to sprout wings and fly. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to do supernatural acts. The purpose for that is fulfilled. God uses miracles to confirm his word. The word is here. We have it. It's a matter of how are we going to read it and apply it to our lives. You see the real application in the rest of these chapters. What does it mean? It means that I can go to God in prayer. It means that I can have unity in the body and have this common understanding that we can read the scriptures alike, as we sometimes will say, and what it looks like to believe in the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all these different aspects that come up in chapter 4. And really, I think the key aspect, Scott, is the new life that he talks about in the middle of chapter 4, the fact that I can change. I can have the power, that I am empowered to put off the old self and put on the new self that's in Christ. I can make choices even when they seem impossibly difficult. Separating from relationships that I thought I could never live without. Making choices and changing the lifestyle that I thought was so key and elemental to who I was or how I identified myself. I can put those things aside because now I truly understand that abundant, my real life is in Christ. That's such an incredible thing, to the point where we can submit to one another, as he says in chapter 5 and verse 21, and he goes into the different relationships where that applies, the wife and the husband, slaves and masters, children, all these different things, that we can submit to one another out of reverence for Christ because we have the power. He has given us far more abundantly than what we need to actually accomplish his will and to do the things that he asks of us.
You know, it's such an important piece for us to understand, because I know that there are some listening that do not think that this grace has been offered to everybody. It absolutely has. And what it comes down to, what you were talking about, and one of the things that Paul talks about often in Ephesians, is our walk. Are we walking in the light? Are we living this life? Are we in him? And that's an important piece of this. He wants to have a relationship with us. We've talked about that often on this program. But the question is, do we want to have a relationship with him? Do we really want to have an abundant life? Are we really concerned about the spiritual blessings that he talks about in chapter 1, or are we more concerned about the physical blessings, or what we perceive to be physical blessings, the things of this earth, the things of this life, of whether or not we truly are living for the next one, whether or not our citizenship truly is in heaven, or if we're just going to enjoy this life? One of the things we talk about, Tyler, is this idea that if you're not living for the next life, I strongly encourage you to enjoy this life, because the next one is going to be absolutely horrible if we're not children of the Almighty God. It's your choice. It's my choice. He has done everything possible for us to give us the opportunity, but he's not taken away our free will. We all have the opportunity to have this abundant life, to live this life, to walk as children of light, as he talks about in chapter 5, to be imitators of him, and to make sure we're loving one another as Christ loved us. And really, that's the question. That's what we leave you with today, is the idea of whether or not we truly are living for him or not.
Yeah. And I think, Scott, a lot of the times this will come down to a conflict, and whether it's, you know, why does God allow evil in the world, or why would God let me go through this specific thing? It's a matter of understanding that our free will and God's sovereignty, or his all-powerful capacity to do whatever he desires, do not cancel each other out.
Right.
It's an understanding that God gives us the choice. He might allow things to happen to us to strengthen our faith, but it is a matter of I have to be in that grace by choosing it. I have to cling to him. Otherwise, I will fall away, as the scriptures say. But the incredible blessing is that God isn't putting us on a tightrope and say, try not to fall. He is absolutely embracing us and saying, I'm going to help you walk through this, and I want that for you. He wants all of us to be with him in heaven. And again, the point we made from the very top, he's given us all these riches. Are we going to go and try to understand them? He does give us understanding if we open up the scriptures. He makes it very clear for us. Our job then, our task, is to listen to God's voice, open his word and read it, and to make application. We thank you so much for joining us on this episode of You Are From God. Again, if you'd like to visit with us, we worship Sunday mornings 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. in the evenings. We also have midweek Bible studies at 7 p.m. We are located at 6800 Tylersville Road in Mason, Ohio. Our phone number is 513-398-9607, and you can find us online at westmasonchurchofchrist.org. Thanks for listening.